Okay, you had a vote on it. Well, voted on it, yes. I suggest you do your research before you turn up on these podcasts, Trevor. I mean, you're sort of like, you know. But I'm...
Unfortunately for me, you haven't released it.
That's true. So, that's true.
Oh, wow.
Don't make excuses, Trevor.
Please like, subscribe, comment, and hit the notification bell for any future videos.
We're just literally going to discuss simply the turning circle. And I'm going to, for the record, say that I am for abandoning the turning circle as a requirement for the vehicle. Dave, you are abandoning it?
I am. I'm open to listening to it. I'm not 100% either way. I was 100% to keeping it, but I'm now going, since recent times listening to Grant, I went, you know what?
Maybe
it's time to listen to the argument. Maybe it is time to change.
Okay, and then Paul, you were like, you're kind of the other end, but the same.
No, I am. I want to keep it.
100%. You want to keep 100%. It.
100%.
Okay.
But what Grant said was sensible.
Yeah.
It made sense because of where we are in the trade right now and the expense of the cabs.
Yeah.
But I still want to keep it. I've thought about it. I've reflected on what he said, and I want to keep it.
Okay. And Trevor, you're hardened. You're not even bendable.
I'm at a disadvantage because I don't know what Grant said in the podcast, but I have heard what Grant and the LCDC have said
in the past
at meetings. Yep. And not just me, the UCG membership overwhelmingly 93% voted to maintain the turning circle.
Okay, you had a vote on it. Well,
voted on it, yes.
I suggest you do your research before you turn up on these podcasts, Trevor.
Unfortunately for me, you haven't released it.
That's true. So, that's true.
Wow.
Don't make excuses, Trevor.
I was just about to say that. I've got an excuse. I was there. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Trevor hasn't.
No, yeah. No. That's no excuse. He should have insider trading.
I was there.
But so let me ask a question first of all to start with.
Go on then.
Why have we got it?
Why have we got it? Bloody good question.
Why have we got it? What's the history behind the turning circle? What's the purpose of it all?
Yeah, that's one for Trevor.
Obviously, the Savoy being a famous point in London, okay, to the turning circle, to be able to pick someone up on, say, the left-hand lane. They want to go west. You should be able to take it in one easy movement. That was why the originally, and it was a great bit of British engineering.
Yep.
It was patented, and it's fantastic.
So for one point in London, we had a turning circle.
No, it wasn't just one point. It's also where your ranks are situated. See, this is something that's not often said, or maybe it's not been often shared, but I was at a meeting with TfL where the subject of doing away with the turning circle was raised.
Yeah.
Which, out of every, you know, there's three organisations, two unions. Four are in favour of keeping the turning circle. One wants a different wants to do away with it. TfL told us, do away with it. If that's what the trade want, then we will review every single rank in London, because a lot of them are in place because you can do a one unit like that. So bear in mind that it's okay, people saying, and I understand, look, I'm not here to defend the price of the LEVC. No one likes a situation that we've only got one vehicle. Right? No one likes that. And the price and the range, I'm not here to defend that. Mm. But we are where we are.
Yeah.
So be careful here, because someone will turn and say, oh, we can save X by doing this. But once it's been accepted by TfL and that market's opened up, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, LEVC are finished overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They were out of the market. Not only that, then people go, but we didn't mean that. And then if we lose ranks, people go, but oh, I didn't want to lose ranks. So let's have a frank, open and honest debate.
Name me one rank that we would lose.
Well, I'm not on the ranks and highways, but the Aldwych has been one that's been mentioned.
I bet you could do a free, not even a 3.10, you could do a U-turn in every single vehicle. Dave could do it in an HGV on the Aldwych.
Right, so there you go.
So if we assume that the 21st century London and active travel and cycling, and which is going to be the pedal cabs are going to be licensed this year, pedicabs. Mm-hmm. Street space. You don't think that there is already people who want to take our ranks away from us, because they are. But I'm not saying because of ranks that we should keep the turning circle.
What about Selfridges, Dean?
Yeah.
What about it?
What about Selfridges?
I'll get round in one.
No, you won't.
If I get round in two?
I see people taking shunts all the time on Oxford Street.
Shunts?
Yeah, right, backwards and forwards.
What?
They're not always doing Oxford Street in one, everyone.
Selfridges Rent, there's lots of going back west, but you're talking in one circle.
There's loads of places you take a bite. Is it a safety thing? Because I'll tell you, today we was at a place where there was a car park. Everyone has to reverse in now for insurance, don't they? Reverse into a bay is the safest way. Drive out is the safest way. So is it a safety thing? Because it's got to be the safest way. It's got to do a U-turn in one.
Yes.
As opposed to taking a bite and backing up in all the busy pedestrian streets that we're in.
So your argument on Oxford Street as an argument in that sense.
You
that
most people are going west because they're all going Selfridges to... Harrods, aren't they? You know, it's one of the most common jobs you get from Selfridges.
You're advocating, and I will say this, like one tier enabling, you're doing away with the turning circle. Why? So what savings do you say that we're going to make?
We won't be getting beaten with the money stick by LEVC with the increased rates all the time.
So a taxi driver in Edinburgh today sent me a message and he asked me what I think of the full cab. It looks lovely. In your opinion?
Oh, no, I thought it looked lovely.
But to me, it don't look like a taxi.
You don't have to buy it. I'll buy it.
So you can.
Good.
But you shouldn't be imposing that I have to buy it.
Does the Vito look like a taxi?
No.
But we've got them. There's already a precedent there, isn't there?
I would say a blurring of our and a diminishing of our brand. I would be against the Vito. And I still am. Because, once again, it is an adapted vehicle. But the guy in Scotland, so he sends me this picture of it, and this is for Edinburgh, diesel, obviously, and on the road, it is £62,995. Now, that's a diesel version. Obviously, in London, we would have to have a ZEC one. I don't know what the price for that is. No one knows. Electric vehicles seem to be a bit more expensive than diesel and petrol. Let's say they put it up to 70,000. Instead of 63, it goes up 7 grand. If you've got 70,000, I haven't.
Yeah.
But if you've got 76,000, you can buy an LEVC. So over the lifespan of that taxi, 15 years, you want to do away with your identity for a saving of about £6,000.
Okay, let's say, going back to your LEVC idea then. So you're basically arguing that you need more competition rather than a monopoly. But yet we can't have a monopoly, or can't have more competition because you're not going to allow the turning circle to be a got away with. And if we make a vehicle that's got the turning circle, such as the Mercedes, you don't like that one. You want that to come off the road.
No, I never said that. I said I personally wouldn't have licensed it as a taxi.
If you were in charge, would you take it off the road?
You can't take it off the road. It's been licensed as an Acne carriage.
Would you take its license away?
But you can't. But it can't be licensed.
Right, you wouldn't have licensed it in the first place.
Shouldn't have been licensed in the first place.
Okay, so you'd still have just the LEV.
But
so
why was it licensed in the first place? Once again, the taxi.
It met the criteria, didn't it?
No. Who's pushing for it?
Mercedes.
Were they? Really? If they were pushing for it, it would have been adapted by Mercedes, wouldn't it? Once again, it's the taxi trade.
Who pushed it? No, don't.
I don't know.
It must have been Mercedes. Who would push for it then?
Well, who do you think was pushing for it?
I don't know. Mercedes.
No, what? Mercedes didn't bring that vehicle. No, Penzo brought that vehicle.
Exactly.
Penzo was an adaptive, they adapted and it.
Well, they did the turning circle.
They'd done a rear wheel steer. But the problem was everyone was going to make a big killing. It was going to put Mengele's Blondes out of business, which it did, basically. But then they got bought out by Geely, which no one saw coming, a big Chinese firm. But the reality was the rear steering was nothing but problems.
Yeah.
Now, Manchester, because you like your history, didn't want to license the Vito, but because London and everything in Acne carries comes back to London, they had to license the Vito because London...
Okay, we licensed the Vito.
Let me finish.
Go on then, I'll let you finish.
Because there's a couple of points I'd like to make now. But Manchester had the foresight to turn and say, okay, then we've been imposed because of what London's done, but private hire cannot buy this vehicle in black. They can only buy it in white. And surprise, surprise, it didn't really take off for private hire up in Manchester. I've said before, don't like the price of the LEVC. No one does. The range could be better. In the ideal world, you'd like competition. But you're a niche market. So these are facts, not opinions. These are facts.
Yep.
You do away with a turning circle, then you are blurring our identity.
Okay, so then let's not worry about the competition. Let's have no competition. Let's have one taxi right in the market.
I'll come back to that. So you blur the identity. The last thing the taxi trade needs is further blurring. The hire light and a meter does not make a London taxi. All Acne carriages throughout the country, throughout the UK, have a hire light and a meter. A lot of them are in saloon cars, exactly the same, because outside London, private hire also have a meter. The PBV, purpose-built vehicle, cannot be licensed as a minicab. Adapted vehicles, which you're advocating, can be and will be and have been. And so what you're then asking for is parity with private hire. And what will happen here, and the proof of this will be, we've already got a blurring where they all work, we're all working the same. What will happen here, I'll make this prediction, private eye will buy the exact same vehicle, and I'll tell you what colour they'll buy it in as well. They'll buy it in black. So what savings are we talking about by doing away with this turning circle? My last point, and I want to end it on this, right? Identity comes at a cost, and it's priceless.
Give the man a round of applause on that. Yeah. That's it, please. Thank you very much. I'm so glad that I brought Trevor on my team.
That's a laugh, though, yeah.
No, no, you want to clap.
You can laugh.
That's where it needed.
That's for you next, that is.
No.
Well, having that said,
yeah.
And that said, that still leaves us with LEVC beating us with a money stick.
Yeah,
because there's no alternative.
We're one vehicle.
And no one's going to come in and put a turning circle on.
So how much do you think this other vehicle will cost you?
I don't know. I think if you had more than one come in, you'd have more of a choice, wouldn't you?
I've seen one that's just a normal vehicle, like for maybe private hire or a minibus type thing, and it was like something like 44,000 before VAT. So you put the VAT on top of that, then you've got, and then you've got to make it into wheelchair accessible vehicle, WAV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's adding more money to it. You're going to be up in the 60s.
Okay, but there is 65. Another argument here. You've got an LEVC purpose-built vehicle that actually you're arguing to me that it's not fit for purpose with the problems it's having mechanically. So when you have a production line vehicle made by one of the major production line companies, then you have a reliability issue and a warranty that's got some foundation to it.
What warranty? Because it's going to be turned adapted into a taxi by a third party.
Yeah, but if you had a Ford, it's a Ford van or a Ford whatever it is, it's all Ford mechanical parts that will all be working in a sense rather than the ERAD that you've got that seems to be misaligned.
Yeah, but we thought that was Nissan. And Nissan's gone to pieces. Like that was a reliable vehicle, but it's converted into a taxi,
and of course it's got no warranty because it's not factory conversion.
They had a warranty of a car on that. The warranty was up to 60,000 miles. 60,000 miles.
Okay, so you're raising kind of separate issues, which really raises a different argument. We need to just go for one vehicle. You need to put all your money and effort and accept that it is a one vehicle market.
At the moment, we need to accept it. Yeah, I think we do. And I think that the fact that they've invested in that vehicle so highly and kept the turning circle and given us basically what we want, all right, it's got its problems, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's going to get sorted. But I'd rather invest in that vehicle, keep the turning circle, have an identity. Our USP, which is our ultimate selling point, is that...
Unique selling point.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
but okay. Cut that out.
Leave it in. Say it again.
Yeah, yeah. Unique selling point. One of the most beautiful things about getting a cab is that you can hail it on the other side of the road and it will come and turn into you. You don't have to wait for it. You're not holding up traffic. You're doing your job. And everyone behind you knows you're doing your job.
Driving with that turning circle is lovely. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. So basically now, please... Don't moan about the price of the LEVC vehicle. No. Don't moan about the ERAD going. Don't moan about any of the technical problems, because if you want to have the vehicle with a turning circle, this is the only choice you are going to get. There's going to be no competitors.
Come on, because everyone who wants to do away with a turning circle, how much are you talking about is the turning circle?
And you want the distance or the price?
The price.
10,000, isn't it?
I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows. Would you plug that out of the air? If you keep lobbying TFL, eventually, and if TFL's okay, then we're going to... sign that off, and all of a sudden, which will happen is the penny will drop after the damage is done.
Yeah,
what's that?
Because once the vehicles have been converted, it won't be factory. Fords, I'm not saying that mechanically there's much wrong with the Ford, I'm not saying there is, but it's got to be a ZEC capable vehicle, first
electric
of all.
And that will have an ERAD.
Right, that's gonna
yeah, but it'll have an ERAD that works.
I think it might well have to be 100% electric. Who knows?
Maybe, by that time it comes in. Yeah, it could exactly. be. And it will have an ERAD.
And what sort of mileage will
be? Yeah, it'll work.
No, will it?
Well, every electric vehicle must have an ERAD.
So
yeah, it does.
So why is other vehicles' ERADs not going?
So what?
They are.
But They are.
So basically, you're all moaning about the problem that electric cab has that is inherent to all electric vehicles. Why are you moaning? I'm hearing loads of moaning about the E-Rad and the price.
You're hearing the same section of the trade, so what's the alternative? So okay, we'll do away then. We'll open up the market, and I'm not here to defend LEVC. I'm genuinely not.
Mm.
There's a lot. I understood the argument of why we had to go electric. I would like to have choice. I wasn't involved in the discussions there. You got to have it, but the trade itself, the same people who are now advocating do away with the turning circle, didn't have the foresight to return and say the infrastructure ain't there, the technology's not there, and didn't have the foresight, because I've spoke to a KC on this, should have asked for a bit of an extension before we went straight into electric. LEVC...
Never a good time.
LEVC, we've given the task of going and starting from scratch with a new electric vehicle. It is more expensive. But if the turning circle is the total problem... Right, because what you had before with the Vito, you've blurred your standards by allowing that because it's a factory built van.
People love the Vito.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the garages that was going to sell that, they didn't like. What they didn't like was that all of a sudden people are coming back. It's got problems with the steering, the rear wheel.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, are we talking about we want to maintain our standards and our identity? As I say it's prices, or are we looking for maximised profit? Because now they want to go again with a van, but this time they don't want you coming back with it.
Mm.
They want to do away with a turning circle. And here's the reality. I think Paul touched on it. What sort of price are we talking about? Because when... I know you can't buy a diesel vehicle, but I think that... What was the price of the last Vito? I know we're going 19...
48,000.
Right. So this one now is £63,000. That's a diesel. And is doing away with the turning circle, your identity that stands out. Everyone in the world knows what a London taxi. That's a taxi.
Yeah, look at that.
That's a taxi. Over 15-year lifespan or whatever, and if you're talking, you said 10,000, is your identity worth? Because to me, it's worth a lot more than 10 grand. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do away with your identity and blur the lines for £10,000...
What do you mean by identity? You mean brand as well, isn't it? It's the USP. London taxi brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you say, if just say, for instance, they lobbied them, they got TfL to agree, we're going to open up the conditions of fitness, this is opening a Pandora's box.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, in my opinion, only my opinion, LEVC are out in the market. They collapse.
Well, not only that, they might stay in because obviously they sell these cabs all around the world, and they've got... You see them in Paris, right? So, but they've got a small amount there because in Paris you can drive anything. You can drive a Vauxhall, a Skoda, anything can have the light on it. So they've only got
same
a handful
of London.
If we get rid of the turning circle, that opens up Pandora's box, and all of a sudden we've got Skodas. So they're going to come out of here. No disrespect to Skoda, they're going to come out of here and they're going to drive a Skoda. You want to do 3 years bird on the knowledge to drive a Skoda?
Trev, you are passionately shouting your cause.
It's our cause.
It is our cause.
It's our brand. At the end of the day, and you know this better than anyone because you run a knowledge school,
yep.
The knowledge of London, the vehicle we drive, and applying for hire are all intrinsically linked. We are now, through weak unions and weak regulator, private hire are working in our market. So what you're actually now saying is we don't want to keep... a two-tier and a gold standard. We want parity with private hire. We want to be able to go and drive any vehicle. Well, you want to do that, then you're asking London to become like other places in the UK, and we should start talking about dual licences, because that's what happens outside London.
Yeah.
They have a dual licence, and there's a fag paper difference between a minicab and a taxi driver. And what happens is that, I'm going to go PH for the next 3 years. I was acne for the last 3 years. You'll be one tier, and that's what I'm hearing. One tier enabling. We're not here to defend LEVC, but rather than put that sort of passion about, oh, if only we had more choice. I've heard, to me, it's a nonsense argument. I've heard people say it's the vehicle, the price of the vehicle, that's stopping people doing the knowledge.
No, it's not.
Of course, it's not. It's the work effort you have to put into doing the knowledge. And what we're saying is go through 3 years on the knowledge to work off and out exactly the same as a private hire and drive the same vehicle. Tell me then, how is the two tier viable? It's not. And why should we lower our standards?
When they gave us the choice of driving a Vito and the TX4, TX2,
yeah, whatever.
How much did the TX2 outsell the Vito?
The Vito sold really well, and I'll be honest, it was my first cab. it was my first cab because I didn't really like the drive of the TX4 when I was mm-hmm. doing the knowledge. I was testing them both. But when you start realising what you're doing in town and how you're driving the vehicle and the rear wheel steer keeps packing up and the alarm keeps coming on and you're doing a 3-point turn while your mate on the rank's spinning it around.
So can I get some core issues here then? So basically, if we had a production line vehicle, it still would need to be retrofitted to come up to the standards that we need to have it. Let's even say there's no turning circle, but everything else, it needs to be fitted, which affects the warranty of that vehicle. And also, it will still have aftermarket problems that it didn't know about because the fitting of these extra gadgets. So I think I'm back to the idea that I had before I... Because speaking to Grant, sowed a seed of let's think about taking away the turning circle. But it is an absolute niche market. And my only argument now would be, we have one vehicle. This is the vehicle you've got. It's best to have one vehicle. It represents who we are. It is a brand. It is a image of what we represent to the outside world. So you have no choice but to just get on with the price that it costs. But when a monopoly does have a monopoly, they can milk the profits. I don't think personally that if I was the owner of LEVC, I'd be too happy because I don't think they turn a profit.
They don't.
So there's all this money you're investing to try to turn a profit. And with the numbers of the knowledge going down, your market that you're trying to sell to goes down. So it's all now becoming very, very risky. I'd love us all to be one vehicle. That one vehicle is it. That one vehicle has some issues that you're telling me are inherent across all electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Well, doing the mileage that we're doing with the taxis, the other vehicles.
You think high mileage,
high mileage, high usage in urban areas.
So what I'm getting from this whole little debate is,
it's not up to
you're all moaning. You're moaning about something that you cannot control, and the options that you would bring in to replace your moaning are not going to solve your problems. You're going to have a aftermarket vehicle that you are not going to have a turning circle on that you think is going to lower our standard and our image, and LEVC might go out of business because of it completely, and then we end up with just those vehicles.
If LEVC pull out the market, we're left then with adapted vehicles. There's me, and I struggled on the knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I was through it because I struggled in. So I've put all that blood, sweat and tears genuinely to do the knowledge.
Yep.
How many long it took me, and then I get out and I buy this lovely, I rent.
Skoda,
van, or this full maxi, whatever they call it, taxi maxi, and then up pulls a private hire driver in exactly the same vehicle. He's bought his licence for £300 and got it in 6 weeks. I've took 5, 6, 7 years to do the knowledge.
Yeah. Was his had disabled access? No.
He doesn't have to.
You can on a private hire.
But here's the thing as well. Not only have I done all the hard graft here and driving the same vehicle as him, but because of so-called technology blurring the lines, he's working exactly the same as me. In fact, in a lot of times, we're working off the same apps.
For half price.
Dave, destroy his argument, please.
We're going to end up, you're one tier enabling. I keep coming back to it, it's pricey. We would like 2 or 3 vehicles. But you know this.
There isn't the market for 2 or 3 vehicles.
Exactly. The knowledge school, the numbers. It's a niche market. And if you had confidence, and it all comes back to, see, this is what annoys me, really, with my...
You're showing your annoyance, I can see.
Because I will say this, and it might well be controversial, but I'll say this. The taxi trade, rather than face the elephant in the room and have a bit of arsehole to actually fight, what they've done was keep taking the low-hanging fruit. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll be mandated to take credit cards. That'll get all the youngsters who don't carry cash back into it. That didn't work. Oh, I've got a great idea. We go green before. That'll put all the green and woke people in London who wanna keep the environmentalists, they'll all come flooding back to the taxis. That didn't work. Meanwhile, private eye were growing and growing and growing, working exactly the same as us. Now we're saying, I've got it. I'm going to work these apps and charge above the meter, like private eye can, and I want to be able to drive any vehicle I can. And if that's what you want, hand your licence back. Become a private eye driver.
Trev, Dave, give me one of them Nurofen. I've got a headache.
Lucky I brought a box along with me, isn't it?
if me and you was open and listening, obviously them two, if you was to vote now, you had a vote, Dean, what would you vote now?
Well, you see, you got to understand where I came from. I came from the idea of knowing a little bit about selling products and marketing. Not the greatest in the world, but if you have a niche market, you're asking someone to come in and compete in that market. And it is not as if they could just pluck out the air something, they would have to invest billions, on a risk that they have to then beat LEVC or 50%. They've got to take 50% of the market to have a chance to give you this balance. No cab has ever taken 50% of the market away from the fairway, the TX, and the LEVC. There's been one dominant cab all the time. So my thing that's got me to this idea of going about the turning circle, to get rid of it, to create some competition, because if you do get rid of the turning circle, you will create a competitive vehicle.
Yes, but it'll never come back. Once you get rid of the turning circle,
and it'll be gone forever.
Gone.
So the point would be, you would have a choice. You can buy a vehicle with the turning circle or a vehicle without the turning circle. That seems to be part of what the decent argument would be, that you could do that. You
still buy it.
But at the same time, you are affecting the identity, which I like. I love our identity. I am of the idea that we should be compelled to buy only one vehicle, but we can't at the same time realise that we have this niche market where there is one vehicle, it does have problems, and then we complain about the price, but we only have one vehicle. If you don't want this one vehicle, you can't complain about the price. You have to accept that we can all drive around in a Mercedes-Benz that costs £70,000 and we just become minicab drivers.
Yeah, I've said
that.
So
we lose our identity, like you've been saying.
Yeah.
So, for example, I think in Denmark, all of the taxis are, they have to be Mercedes, I think it is. They all have a S-Class Mercedes-type vehicle. It's not even S anymore, is it? I don't know what they've moved on to. That would be us. And at the moment, that's not our identity. We have something special. To keep that, we pay a price. I am also of the idea that when I see people complaining about the price of a vehicle, I always like to point out, would you like to own a corner shop that sells crisps and Mars bars because you pay £70,000 a year rent and rates for your corner shop and you have to keep going out stocking it full of crisps and Mars bars to earn 10p on every Mars bar you sell? Or you pay £70,000 for a vehicle that will last you for a period. That's your shop.
15 years.
15 years of shop, rent and rates, all paid for. All you now do is keep it ticking over and you take money through the window. So the ratio of profit that a taxi driver gets outstrips what a corner shop owner gets, who is also a self-employed businessman doing something. So sometimes I do feel that we moan without the comparison of what it is that
we're in
do.
Our own little echo chamber. Hell, sometimes
I think that's true. And if you take it, the taxi trade, you know, there's one vehicle because it's a niche market, as you said. But if we had the, like me and you can remember, the luxury of knowing that a certain way of working was ours exclusively,
mm-hmm.
we would be more inclined to perhaps go and invest in this expensive vehicle because we know that our earnings would be able to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a situation, what the taxi trade should be focusing on should be lobbying government. Do away with the VAT because we're compelled because we're publicly hired for wheelchair accessibility. Lobby for that. Mm-hmm. Lobby for the grants. If we're forced to because we are publicly hired and because of no fault of our own, there's only one vehicle, then there should be some help coming back our way. Mm-hmm. That's what the trade should be. Argue on the VAT. Argue on other things because...
Give some people more reason to do the knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. More reason to do the knowledge.
You know, like... I'm a fleet owner, okay, and I get the VAT returned to me when I buy a vehicle. But I'm actually for getting rid of the VAT. I think it would boost us massively. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot
of
money
because we're compelled to be wheelchair. So
yeah,
it should be.
So in essence, all we're doing as fleet owners is collecting extra tax for the government. We're not really. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're benefiting out of it greatly.
Cut across Paul there. One of the so-called reasons we couldn't do away with it, because the taxis have to be compelled because we're a publicly hired vehicle, is because we apply for hire. I know that seems to be, everyone knows if Trevor's going to be on, he won't miss the opportunity to mention applying for hire.
When me and Dave had a bet on it, you mentioned it seven times.
I'm on nine at the moment.
I've counted 32.
And Paul's probably going to win because I'm on a roll.
Nine,
and this next sentence, I might get another 20 odd in.
Yeah, go on.
But the reality is that because it's a wheelchair vehicle, we shouldn't
pay VAT.
Doesn't pay VAT.
Why do we pay VAT then? Why can't we get rid of it?
If you was disabled and you want to get a disabled, you don't pay VAT because it's disabled.
Yeah.
Like we had to, because it would have been under EU that we would be getting state aid.
Yeah.
Anti-competitive. Well, we're no longer in the EU.
Well, there's two flaws with that. We're not competing against anyone in the EU, no, and we're no longer in the EU. But, so anti-competitive against ourselves is a bit of a misnomer.
And if you did open up the market, and who's to say you ain't going to get a load of problems with this van, converted van that you've opened up the market to?
Well, we had a load of problems with a veto, so you're saying a similar aspect.
Well, you don't know. And you don't. And it's okay. When the Nissan, which had already been licensed as a private hire vehicle elsewhere in the country, when that was converted by a Dynamo into a taxi, Nissan was not. It's no longer under warranty because they never done the conversion. It's not a factory conversion. And once again, if there was, we use Ford as an example, and I'm not slandering it. If they've later on there is a fault like on the vehicle. Do you think a Ford would go, oh, yeah, that's okay, we'll sort that out? Or will they turn and say, well, we never touched it. Because I know that these people have really got the milk of human kindness flows freely through their veins. So I know they're doing it for us. These garages that want to convert and sell these. What do you think they're going to do in a minute? Everyone goes back, I've got this fault.
Hmm.
I'll tell you what, I think they'll go bankrupt. And leave us with it. That's what I think they'll do.
So there's Penzo that went bankrupt because of the Merc. And then there's Dynamo that went bankrupt because of the Nissan. But it's not really because of the Nissan and the Merc. It's because they did the conversion and they couldn't stand the claims or raise the money to keep themselves going.
What's to stop LEVC from going bankrupt, even with their niche market?
Nothing.
So if they go bankrupt...
No, and then I'll have this conversation with you and Dave and I'll try to say, you know what, as much as it breaks my heart...
We've got no choice.
Yeah.
But we do. But I know, because I'm of a certain age, that once it's gone, it's never coming back.
It's never coming back. No, it's true.
But all the time we've got it, don't give it up.
One second. Dave, give him a beta blocker.
And I must say this, because it applies right, but the taxi trade, know the price of everything, but the value of nothing.
That's just a catchphrase. It's a catchphrase.
It's so true.
If we were to have a vote today, obviously we're going to say that, Trevor, you're going to say keep it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Paul, you're going to say keep it.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you was open. So what would you say now after listening to
that? I want to know what you'd say first.
I'm going to keep it.
I'll leave it out.
You're going to keep it, yeah? If I say...
That didn't take long. I didn't even have to say anything.
I think if Paul had said more, I would have said get rid of it.
Dave knew that if he would have voted the other way, he's expelled tonight from the UCG.
I'll be out.
We're democratic.
We're democratic
when you agree with us. When you don't agree with us, no, that wouldn't be true at all.
No, well, I am absolutely the same, I'm afraid. But this is going, I think Grant mentioned some things that you kind of think, okay, now, the simple fact is, it's such a niche market that it would be a divided market of two different vehicles, that's thing. There are details about the vehicle that I wasn't aware of, which that's great. I do prefer that we keep our identity. I do prefer we have one cab. And now, basically, my campaign will be, what are you moaning about? Because there isn't an option. You need to now put your best into this particular vehicle.
Yep.
And if your ERADs are going, it does seem that there's some proof that is actually related to how you maybe are driving. So if you drove a little differently, maybe you would get a little bit less damage out of the ERAD. It's got to be some link to the driving.
I think so, maybe. I mean, there's some kind of torque issue there, you know, with the high torque and the weight and things like that. But like I said, it would be nice to hear it from them. We need to know from them why they keep going and what's the problem, you know?
With you owning multiple, how about if you was to, you could do it, you know, put up equivalent to a black box in there to monitor driving to see if it, and that way you could tell whether the ones that are driving harsh acceleration, harsh braking, and if it comes up on those type of vehicles, then you know it's the driving. And if it doesn't, then you know it's no driving, it's nothing to do with it.
Yeah, so we've got telematics in them. We can check that. But
you don't?
We checked occasionally. We checked the driving standard of people. Yeah, we have to.
See, Dave's driven HGVs. Dave's driven HGVs. And when you drive HGV, really?
Have I never mentioned
you
that?
I never mentioned it.
When Dave drove HGVs.
But you can't get a 40-foot trailer, Arctic, round the roundabout of the Savoy.
No.
I'd
be able to reverse it down here. One particular company, they had this, and it was monitored all the time. They had a table. And the table was the most greenish driver, who was literally were wearing slippers. You were afraid to put it down. You drove in the green. And if you've ever driven a loaded truck, it's rubbish if you come from the old stuff. But braking harsh, leaving your engine right, they were monitoring everything, camera in on you. They were really monitoring everything going on.
What is the thing that cab drivers moan the most about in London when they're doing their job? It's traffic. And do you think that doing 3-point turns when private eye are picking up their passengers isn't part of the problem?
You know, like we were talking about Oxford Street. I think it's a bit danger. Dangerous. You know, because if you don't have to take a bite, if you don't have to take a shunt, it's got to be better because you're seeing forward all the time.
Yeah.
If you wait for someone to get out. And if you've got to take a shunt into crowds of people, you know, it's like in even
when
the
you
city,
take a shunt, you mean take 1 point of the turn.
Take a bite. Like you can do it in one U-turn, or you have to go and take a shunt across the road. Now you're reversing back towards where people are.
Crossing
someone
the road.
Can cross the road at you, and you might not hit them hard, but you'll hit them.
And I think these old laws and rules about hackney carriages in London are so good because London is an old city, so it's got such a lot of smaller roads, and if we can get round in one turn, you're teaching them the knowledge, right? And you're teaching them direction. So when I have finished the knowledge, I don't remember all the street names, but I know my direction. So as soon as I'm hailed from the other side of the road, I can go over to them and they say to me, I want to go Euston Station, and I instantly know which direction I want to go in.
Yep.
And I can turn the other way without doing a 4-point turn. Do you know what I mean? That for me is one of the most important things about the turning circle.
And UCG balloted its members.
Yes.
And we're a democratic organisation and the membership overwhelmingly. So when people say we want to do away with the turning circle, who are they talking for? When did they ballot their members?
How valid is that ballot? On this basis, if you ballot people with no argument, debate or anything and just ask an opinion, all you get back is a reflex opinion.
We give them the option.
An option, but you haven't explained to them. You haven't got someone saying, this is why you should get away with it. All you're getting is their reflex.
Well, we did in our ballot. We did. We give the pros and cons.
But you came from a biased opinion of being pro.
Well, probably.
And without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got to agree with Dean on that one.
I think I'm open-minded. And there you are, saying I'm closed.
You are. Listen, you've done a great job.
But if you was, you and Dave want to get private eye in here, not that you would, but get him in here and turn and say, would you like, would you like to buy the PBV, a purpose-built vehicle? Of course they would.
Right.
Because why do you think they want to do all their vetoes in black? Why do you think they want to... What identity?
And in
why
COVID, they wanted the
petition.
Petition.
And they put themselves on the internet as taxis.
We're going to...
Because they want what we've got.
They do. Of course they do.
And I would say, be careful what you wish for, but from my perspective, over our dead body.
Listen, you won the argument. What I want to say is, we all agree now that keeping the turning circle is a better idea. I agree with that. I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
What I want to say is, though, Dave, in a nutshell, why do you keep the turning circle?
Brand identity, safety.
Yeah, safety is a good one, to be honest, and brand and. What's your nutshell version?
I'm going to make a new union called the UTC, the Ultimate Turning Circle.
The Ultimate Turning Circle, yeah.
But I was saying before, you know, the LEVC vans got it because they kept, obviously, they just kept rolling on the production line. So the vans got it as well, you know.
The van units never sold.
No, it's not really sold.
I don't know why not either. Well,
I think most people looked at it and went, that's a taxi.
That's a taxi, yeah.
That's
yeah.
probably
why. I keep saying they should have pick that turning circle as a selling point because there's no other van.
Not a USP.
Like that. A USP. A UTC. A UTC, yeah?
RSA.
They should have used it.
I have to say, look, you're renting now, right?
Yeah.
Trevor's nearly had a hernia, a bypass operation.
Oh, he hasn't.
He's just warming up.
This is how you pick a team. You bring Trevor in for an
argument. I invited Trevor as your team. You said, I don't want Trevor, he's a lunatic.
The lunatics come out of the asylum. No, you pick a team and you win.
So if anybody's actually took the time to watch this video and see and conclude, the conclusion is that we would say keep the turning circle, stay with one vehicle.
We're not happy with the. There's only one.
No. It can't be cheaper, Trevor. It can't be.
But you've got to be happy with it, Trevor. Let me say something about the price. So if we were still with the TX4 now, I'm telling you now, it would be 65 grand.
Based on that, it would be
65 grand. So the price at the moment is kind of irrelevant because everything goes up in price.
What is the base price now?
70,000. And then listen.
Plus VAT?
No, this including the VAT. So the retail driver, someone who wants to go in and buy an LEVC now. It's got to pay all the VAT. May have to pay all the grant now. So that got up to 77,500. Mm-hmm. So there's a massive argument to get rid of the VAT, isn't there?
You've got to
do something. And the grant, I don't know what's next.
The grant TfL could alleviate that overnight because they pay half of that grant.
£3,500
They could turn and say, you know what, we're committed for the next 3 years to pay £3,500 And if the government then say we're not going to pay as, TfL actually got the thing to say, you know what, we're committed to give £5,000 or £7,000 They could give the market, what's the word I'm looking for, comfort?
Support.
Support, and but they don't. And then what they're going to do is, next month we're going to go into Purdah, which is, obviously, you know, because there's an election coming up and they won't be able to discuss anything.
What about the interest rate? I know the interest rates are going, but they're not
it's
all.
Because down
in
Scotland,
yeah, but in Scotland, they gave them 0%.
There's a reason for that.
Why?
Support. So when you're struggling to sell a vehicle and you've not got the numbers wanting that vehicle, you have to support that vehicle. So a car company has to support it. So for instance, a Kia might not be selling some certain brand of that Kia might, so they put support in and they do 0%, or someone comes and helps that vehicle sell. Scotland weren't selling them, so they wanted to get more sold, so that's why they did it. But they got no trouble selling them in London, and that's why they didn't think they would have need to do that.
Also,
they should do it.
Also, it's controversial, but TfL could have, because remember, they were the ones who wanted, and they are the custodians of the two tier. They could have bought the vehicles and we rent them off them, or bought them with a certain percentage of interest. So instead of paying back £100,000 for it, if the vehicle's £76,000, you pay back £84,000, whatever.
Listen, thank you, because I've had enough.
Once again, thank
stressful
you.
No, thank you. Let me finish it off by saying, listen, thank you. We did conclude that basically we should keep the turning circle. It was a really good argument. Trevor, you were super, super passionate. Mm. In my opinion, you was too passionate. Calm the hell down, man. Paul, thanks. You basically offered nothing. Trevor was your whole team. But,
it's because I care.
I got centre forward. Yes,
it's true. It's not my fault.
I think Trevor scored that trick.
He did, and I was expecting you to defend it a little bit more, but you just went down like a sack of potatoes.
I was just going to question your team.
I was convinced as soon as Trevor.